You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello. So excited for today's BDA baby episode. We're going to be talking to Leah Michelle. She is a new mommy, and I am just so excited to be able to talk to her all about new mommyhood. I'm pretty sure we both, we did both become moms around the same time. So it's going to be interesting to talk to somebody who also became a mom in a pandemic, a first-time mom in a pandemic. And what a supportive husband I have. So nice. We are going to turn off comments first. Sorry. And just going to be present here for that. And I'm really excited. You guys are going to hear pregnancy experience, pandemic pregnancy life, and have Leah come on now.
Hi, did that actually just work?
I know, shocking.
Because I'm terrible at this stuff. I literally felt like I needed to read a manual just to get on an Instagram Live.
I know. I feel like I've been doing so many of them recently, so I feel like I kind of have it, although we've had some technological challenges anyway. Okay. But a year ago, I didn't know how to do this at all. So the past year has given me a sufficient amount of experience. Thank you so much for coming on to do this. Just taking time away from, I don't know if your baby's on a schedule at all, but taking time away from a non-scheduled baby is challenging. And even with a scheduled baby is challenging. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, I'm so happy. My mother is very grateful to have this alone time with the baby right now. So,
Oh my gosh. Is your mom living with you guys?
So my mom, we live near my mom. My mom actually lived with my husband and I for almost an entire year due to the pandemic, which I can tell you all about. It was so unexpected and crazy, but we're super close to my parents now. And my mom comes and spends the day with me and watches the baby with me, which is so, so great. And literally her dream.
I know. Mm-hmm. My mom constantly is, she lives right down the street and she's constantly mm-hmm. begging to come over and just be left alone with the baby. Is some weird thing about grandma.
I know.
Like, give me alone time. We don't want you here. I'm like, oh, yeah. Wow. But that's so nice that she was able to live with you guys while you were pregnant in a pandemic. And you and I were both pregnant, first time moms in a pandemic.
I know.
Wild experience. But I want to hear about yours because that's so nice you were able to live with your mom in that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, where to even begin? I'm also just so excited to talk to, like, you know, when you're with your baby like all day long. So I'm so excited to talk to someone. So just at any point, like, reel me in. Yeah, I had a very, very intense, very scary pregnancy. And I've never shared, you know, my experience with anyone, which I think is something that now that I am a mom, you know, I see myself doing in a lot of ways, not sharing for fear of, you know, not sounding perfect or just being afraid. And definitely in my pregnancy, I really withheld a lot of my experience from the people, you know, around me. Mm-hmm. But I found out I was pregnant very unexpectedly in December 2019. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I tried for a while. I have PCOS.
Right.
So our process of conceiving was very complicated.
Which is such a big and common topic because I've been doing this BDA baby series for a little bit now, and PCOS is probably the number one topic that comes up about people struggling with PCOS to conceive, just in general struggling with PCOS. So I think that a lot of people really appreciate your ability to be open about your journey with PCOS. And then of course, to have this beautiful baby boy that you have at the end of the tunnel is so amazing. But I want to hear about that a little bit too, but I'll let you continue about the pregnancy journey.
Yeah, we, you know, and that's the thing. PCOS is, it's really complicated because it's hard to diagnose. I didn't know I had it until I was 30 years old. I went off of birth control. It was just always my plan to go off of it when I turned 30. I'd been on it for like 15 years.
Right.
And I suffered from horrible, horrible skin, terrible, like welts the size of walnuts on my face. I went on Accutane 3 times. No one ever diagnosed me for having PCOS. And maybe if I had been, I don't know, if I had been diagnosed when I was 14, 15, you know, maybe there would have been a way for me to help kind of regulate my body and to help get me to a better place for my childbearing years. Right. But no one did. It wasn't until I turned 30 that I went off of birth control and I gained 20 pounds. My skin broke out terribly. And I was like, something isn't right. I didn't get my period for an entire year. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to a wonderful doctor in Los Angeles. And she was like, oh, you have PCOS, which no one had ever done before.
Right.
And through, you know, regulating my diet, acupuncture, some medication, I was able to manage my PCOS. But then, you know, it's easy to manage it in your daily life. But when you're trying to conceive, it's much harder,
right.
Especially if you have, you know, extremely irregular periods, you never really know when can you get pregnant actually. And then on top of that, I had to have multiple procedures to remove polyps and cysts and scar tissues. And it just got really hard for us. And again, I it's something that, you know, for me, my journey with conceiving, it was challenging, but when I actually did get pregnant, you know, we just decided to kind of give up. I'd had my third procedure. I was really kind of down after taking so much medication, constantly healing from these surgeries. I was like, let's just stop. And of course, that's when we got pregnant. So
isn't that funny the way that works with like, it feels like with everybody says we're going to take a break from trying to get pregnant and then poof.
But everything that I had been doing definitely worked, you know, right. I mean, with taking care of what I needed to medically, plus doing the things that I could do on my own, like acupuncture and my diet, I think all of that combined, it did, obviously it worked,
yes.
But it was definitely hard to, you know, I know that my journey is definitely, it's definitely a hopeful, it's a good story. I know that women with PCOS try for so long. So I was so grateful. And then I think what was so surprising to me was I figured that the minute you know, peed on a stick and got a plus sign, that everything was just going to be fine now, you know,
right.
whatever you might've experienced in your process of trying to, you know, get pregnant. Then at that point, once you got pregnant, everything would be fine. And for me, it wasn't. I had a very scary pregnancy with a lot of, really hard stuff that happened throughout the way.
Right. And I think that's just going back to getting diagnosed with PCOS, it is one of those things. I mean, I feel like we all have other women in our lives who have had PCOS experience. Mm-hmm. Most people know someone who's been diagnosed with PCOS. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have also heard of people getting misdiagnosed with PCOS, mm-hmm. as it seems like it's one of those things that's thrown out to women a lot of the time, especially if you know, and I was the same way, you're on birth control for 15 years. And you go on for a variety of different reasons. If it's skin, painful periods, mm-hmm. You know, in a relationship, not wanting to get pregnant yet. And then you go off and you kind of expect like, okay, now I can get pregnant and it's really easy. And then you're met with challenges or a diagnosis like PCOS. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, it's all about how do you handle that diagnosis, which a lot of the time, depending on your doctor, can seem like it's just thrown at you and not really given any warning signs or, you know, like gentle dialogue on how to deal with that. What was your original initial reaction to being diagnosed with PCOS and being told like, this is something that you're going to deal with?
Well, I actually was so relieved when someone was finally like, this explains your years of struggling with acne and irregular periods or painful periods, weight gain and loss. It was so comforting to me. It wasn't until I started trying to have a baby a couple of years later that I started researching that PCOS actually can really affect chances of getting pregnant. And I was like, wait a minute, that was never brought to my attention when I was originally diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And then I got really, really scared because I knew that I had very irregular periods. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, well, I definitely now fall into this category that this could be hard for me. And then it just became more information, just kept building and building and building, going in for an ultrasound and seeing that I had massive amounts of cysts and polyps that I was completely unaware of. I had scar tissue that literally looked like a cork blocking like how I could get, you know, pregnant. Wow. And it was just, it was definitely a building of information for me that initially when I was diagnosed, I was, like I said, I was very relieved because I felt like this explained a lot of my confusion over the years of why everything that I tried to help manage all of my symptoms wasn't working. Right. And then when it came time to really trying to have a baby, I realized that it was much more complicated than just something that affects your weight or your skin. It's, mm-hmm. it's much, much more challenging.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So you do a couple procedures, which you mentioned, in order to get pregnant. If you, you know, had scar tissue, being able to remove that so you can actually conceive a baby and carry a termed baby, because that I've heard is also part of it. And how do you stay positive and optimistic in that? I know that obviously you got to a point where you're like, we're going to take a break. And then of course, magically that happens that you're able to get pregnant really quickly that way. But I mean, it is an emotionally exhausting process. It is a challenging one. Of course, it's can feel discouraging for a lot of the time for a lot of women who feel like, you know, here's one procedure after another. You yourself have had a couple of them. How do you stay optimistic as somebody who wanted to be able to have a baby, but, you know, was being thrown curveballs you didn't necessarily expect?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a very goal-oriented person. So every time they would be like, if you do this procedure, then like you're in the clear. And so I would get, okay, like we just have to do this and then everything is going to be fine. And then, you know, you do that one. And then it's like, actually, sorry, we didn't get everything we needed to get. We have to go in again. And just as it kept happening one after another, I really kept feeling like maybe this just isn't meant to be for me right now. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe this isn't going to happen, which is something that for me personally, I think was always my biggest fear in my entire life, that I wouldn't be able to become a mom. It's what I've wanted more than anything. Mm-hmm. And emotionally, it just started to build and build. And then on top of that, as a working woman, you know, I have to continue to do my job. And what I do has to put me in front of a camera. And here I am taking hormones and recovering from surgeries and then having to go and work and be in a bathing suit on camera, and no one knows what I'm going through or why I might look pregnant because I'm so bloated and swollen from all of these things that I'm, you know, doing to my body. So for multiple reasons, it really started to affect me mentally negatively. And then when we got to I had my last surgery in November. I just said to my husband, and he agreed. We were both just like, okay, let's just take a minute here and just breathe. I've done so much to my body to try and get to a place where we can make this happen. Now let's just give my body the break that it needs. And then we'll reassess in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then just a couple nights out in New York City. But again, it wasn't completely spontaneous. So definitely, you know, it was my job. I was like, literally, I put everything into trying to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that coming into the pregnancy of the process of conceiving being so scary mm-hmm. and stressful, and then getting pregnant and having a really challenging pregnancy, I don't think I was strong going into it. And right. then being hit with the challenges that I was already kind of, I don't know how to, you know, I guess I was just a little shook to begin with. And then, yeah. And then it was really process.
Yeah. I think it's, I think it has a lot to do, of course, with, whatever you believe in the world, God, or, you know, anything, just being able to say, I'm going to take a break from this, relax your body. Stress, of course, people say has so much to do with being able to get pregnant in the first place. And when you're not laser focused on it, a lot of that, you know, a lot of the time that helps. But, you know, you've mentioned being able to get pregnant and then, of course, being faced with challenges. I think, you know, of course, for women, I must be have been on the exact same timeline as you, because I also found out that I was pregnant in December.
Oh yeah.
but I, you know, it's like the first 3 months, of course, everybody, you know, you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to tell anybody that you're pregnant, and you want to be careful, of course, because doctors are always saying, you know, be careful, be cautiously optimistic, which is so hard, especially when you're newly pregnant and it's your first time being pregnant. And then you get to a point where maybe you can start enjoying it a little bit more, but there is always, I don't know about you, but there is always a little bit of a feeling of like, what if something happens? What am I going to do if something happens? I want to get excited, but I don't want to get too excited if something happens. And then on top of it, you were experiencing harder challenges than just that, right?
Oh yeah. So the moment that I allowed myself to breathe and realize that everything was going to be okay was the minute they handed me my baby. Like it right. literally. And exactly. So I found out I was pregnant and I had the most blissful, 72 hours of my life. It was literally, I was floating around New York City, listening to, every, you know, beautiful song that I imagined I would sing and listen to with my baby. And, I was there performing, and shortly, right before walking onto stage to have to perform for a large group of people, I started bleeding terribly, horribly. And I'm backstage. No one knows except for my husband that I'm pregnant. I had to tell my mom I was pregnant, like in the bathroom. And so that lasted my entire first trimester. I Wow. experienced very heavy bleeding, some which was scary to the point that I had to, you know, we rushed in the middle of the night to the hospital. And probably every other day, we were certain that this time was definitely it.
Right.
And I was put on an extreme amount of medication. Mm-hmm. Progesterone to help, you know, sustain this pregnancy. And I was put on bed rest for my whole first trimester. Wow. So that was just
That's a lot.
Horrible. It was yeah. absolutely, absolutely horrible. I was, I thought it was the most scared I would ever be in my life until things got even more complicated. Oh my gosh. But luckily that subsided within the first trimester. So we were in the clear. And then, as you know, you get to your 20 week appointment, which is a really, you know, detailed anatomy scan. And we had a lot of, potential red flag markers come up during that appointment. And what I found so interesting is that no one told me about this. None of my girlfriends, yeah. no one talks about this stuff. You know, all I heard was, you're going to go to this appointment and you're going to get an amazing 3D picture of your baby. Right. So I'm going there. It was, now we're in the pandemic. It was March. I believe it was March. Yeah. 'Cause I do remember going in with the, you know, all masked up and everything. And, I had to go alone because mm-hmm. my husband wasn't allowed to come with me. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we got this terrible news. And so now, or I wouldn't, you know, yes, it was terrible, but it was extremely, again, being placed back into the place of uncertainty, mm-hmm. which I was in my entire first trimester. And now here we are again of just being like, we don't know if this is going to last. And now you're at a point in your pregnancy where you're showing and you can feel the baby move. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, wait a minute, this just doesn't make sense. Like what are you saying right now? And so, in the midst of a pandemic, you know, I was taken in for multiple, fetal MRIs and echoes and, going into all of the major hospitals in the midst of the height of COVID, which was mm-hmm. really, really scary.
Yeah.
And it was, I would say, again, I didn't share with anyone what I was going through. I finally announced I was pregnant, and I still was uncertain if the pregnancy was going to last, but I just one day I woke up, oh my God, I'm going to cry. I just woke up and I was like, I just want to be a mom right now. Like, right. I want this time. And it was horrible. It was the lowest I've been in my entire life of just, I remember I would wake my husband up in the middle of the night and just be like, you have to like, hold me. I'm terrified right now. We were all really, really afraid.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, you're helpless in that state, of course, because, you know, no matter how healthy you eat, how you are, how calm you are, how
there's nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do. And you're really at the mercy of what someone with an ultrasound machine is telling you for your baby. And especially going into your 20-week scan, feeling like mm-hmm. I'm going to be able to walk out of here with a picture to text all of my girlfriends. Yeah. You're in COVID and mm-hmm. you want to be able to show a picture to your husband who can't come to an appointment with you. And then mm-hmm. you're in there by yourself and you're being told all of these things as a first time mom, mm-hmm. Which I think just pregnancy overall, there are so many things that you're told that you're just like, wait, how am I supposed to deal with that? What is that? And I'm alone in this. Who also has this experience? And of course, to have the information told to you that you had, mm-hmm. and to feel this sense of hopelessness and fear that you don't know what's going to happen because, you know, as you mm-hmm. said, you will really feel like, okay, this is for sure when they put that baby on your chest and show that baby to you, which is just,
it's unbelievable. And if, you know, I definitely unexpectedly like started to have these emotional, I don't know if you experienced this, but these feelings of like, am I going to be a good mom? Like, you know, you just start having those moments of self-doubt. And then when your body, you know, you blame it on your body. You're like, well, my body is failing me here. I must have done something to make this happen to my baby. Just so many emotions flood in about, you know, that this is your fault and you did this. So dealing with that at the same time was very challenging. And listen, luckily, following a very, very painful amnio, we were given the most incredible news that the baby was, you know, healthy and that everything was going to be okay. But it happened very late. That came very late into the process of my pregnancy. And I had, I think maybe towards the end, just 2 months. Can you hear me? Are we okay?
Now I can hear you. Yeah, you're fine.
Sorry. But yeah, I would say I had about 2 months towards the end of the pregnancy where I got to enjoy myself a little bit, although I still never really let go. And then we got to focus on like the fun things and all this, the silly stuff. Like my baby was breech and we did all of the most insane stuff to try and flip the baby. Like I had to dive every day into the pool. And then I got like water in my ears and it was like a horrible thing. And then you have to, the things that we do as women, my doctor told me I had to crawl on all fours on the floor.
To flip the baby?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Wait, at what phase of your pregnancy is this? Like this a week before? What is the situation?
Yeah. By now we were in like, you know, July, August, because they say the later it gets, they're like, your baby's not flipping. So I think this was around like July and I'm just crawling on all fours around my house trying to flip this baby. And we did moxibustion, which is it's like a little incense. And this is real. My wonderful, amazing OB, Dr. Michelle Hakaka, in Los Angeles, she said, so you have to do this thing, moxibustion, where you take a little piece of what looks like incense and you blow the smoke onto your pinky toe on your foot. And that somehow that will flip the baby. This is like a real...
I love medical. Hearing all of these little tips and tricks. I love it. I think there's, I mean, listen, they've been around for so long, right? All of these tips and tricks. And so when I was also trying to, right before my daughter was born, I was like, people were like, have this labor salad, have this tea, do this, do that. And it's just like, you know, you try all the things at some point, because it's just like, you want to meet your baby finally at the end, well, and you get comfortable.
I was, so I definitely had a lot of pressure on myself. And again, I don't know if you felt this, but I really wanted to have a vaginal birth. I, you know, it to me, I felt like, for whatever reason, I felt that that means that I am like a mom. And also I felt so, weak and helpless during my pregnancy and scared and just a version of myself that I just don't ever like, it was just horrible. And I felt that if I could have the experience of having a vaginal birth, that I could show my strength, that here I could really, you know, like the strength that, and of course I had strength all along because I got through it, but I felt that it had to end with that for whatever reason. And, coming close to, you know, my due date, my doctor was like, this baby is not, you know, going to flip. And I started having contractions. And so we realized that a C-section was definitely in my future. And I really felt that, you know, we need to talk more about C-sections.
Right.
And I got a pamphlet from my hospital to, you know, prepare for labor. And this is real. They gave me 62 pages on everything their hospital offers when it comes to a vaginal birth, to the point where at one point in the pamphlet, there was maybe it wasn't 62. I think it was in actuality, it was 40 in the 40s. And one page was like a Candyland description of what your beautiful journey with your birth is going to be. You're going to start out in phase one of your labor. And I'm like, okay, but can I have the pen? Can I have the packet, please, for a C-section? Because this is a major surgery, and it's looking like that's going to be my journey. And they go, oh yeah, sure. And it was one page.
Wow.
It was one page.
Right.
Like, where, you know, it's like, oh well, you're not going to get to have the beautiful emotional experience that these other women are going to. And it was really hard for me. And I felt that was very unfair, that you know, women who have C-sections are not given the same level of, I don't know, it just, for whatever reason, it felt to me like, well, you're not going to have that, you know, that experience. And so, I tried to make my C-section as like special as I could. We didn't play any music or anything like that, but
yeah,
you know, I made sure that they knew that I wanted to, you know, hold the baby immediately right away and, do what I could to make it, you know, a process that felt good to me. But again, I just found, and they don't tell you also like the healing and everything afterwards. It's, yeah. It was definitely though, if you think about it, my whole experience of being conceiving to getting pregnant, to having the baby, it would only be right that it ended with like a wild
unexpected.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is so true that I think we, you know, as women, especially we, you know, we think of one of the biggest signs of being a real woman is like, oh, you have mm-hmm. to get pregnant and then you have yeah. to deliver your baby vaginally because that's what, you know, means to be really strong. And mm-hmm. it's funny because I just had one of my best friends also just was told that she had to have a C-section. And it was this really, this news, like you're saying, of being like devastated for what your idea of meeting your child or delivering your child going through labor was in your head. Mm-hmm. And to be told this news also, again, similar, like a PCOS diagnosis, very casually a lot of the time, mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, because for a lot of people in the medical world, a C-section is just another mm-hmm. procedure, but for you, it's meeting your child. And yeah. so there is, you know, if it's a one sheet piece of paper that's handed to you, or it's, you know, a one line statement of like, when do you want to make your appointment for your C-section to come in? Mm-hmm. And that's that. It's an adjustment of what your expectation was for meeting your baby and for going through mm-hmm. becoming a mom. And then on top of it, of course, it is a major surgery. So it's yeah. just such, it's such a different, and it has a whole other flood of emotions, of course, mm-hmm. and things that come with that. And your healing is totally different than a vaginal birth, which is, you know, but I agree that it's not something that we talk about or maybe make to seem as heroic as mm-hmm. a vaginal birth. Is like, if you hear about a woman doing a vaginal birth, you're like, wow, you're a real true
yeah.
hero. And then a C-section, you're like, oh, you went in mm-hmm. for a surgery.
Well, it's the same thing like the debate I feel between formula and breastfeeding. Yeah, totally. I feel yeah. that, you know, when you hear that a woman is breastfeeding or how long are you breastfeeding for, you're still breastfeeding. It's like, wow, you're praised. But if a woman is giving their child formula, it's suddenly like, oh, well, you know, you're just looking for the easy way out here. Right. And it's just all such, it's so, it's unfair. And a lot of it too, like I also put a lot of the personal pressure on myself because I had an image of what it was going to be mm-hmm. like. And it wasn't, but that's what my entire pregnancy was. I had an image of what everything was going to be like and it wasn't, but yeah. that's what, you know, for me, I relied on my faith more than I ever have in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And it, bonded my husband and I in a way that, you know, you don't ever want to have to go through something like that. But the minute we had our son and we looked at him, you know, I know that the experience truly, it changed me in a way that I can never explain. And then seeing him and seeing his face, it's, as you know, it's unexplainable that, yeah. that feeling, that moment.
Yeah, ugh. I know it is. It's truly insane and changes you to your core, of course. And mm-hmm. I think to be able to look back and reflect on your pregnancy and see that it was filled with so many unknowns. And then of course, resulting in the beautiful birth of your son, but to look back and say like, okay, nothing really went as I had planned. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of women, of course, you, in addition to that, you know, have being in a pandemic and mm-hmm. For your first pregnancy on top of all of those other things. And for women who are, you know, pregnant right now, have been pregnant in this pandemic, have their first baby in a pandemic, and, or maybe are just experiencing different medical challenges mm-hmm. in their pregnancy that makes them feel similar of, you know, not necessarily strong or, you know, maybe feeling weak or not hopeful in your pregnancy or not mm-hmm. great in your pregnancy. What would your advice be to women to be able to handle that in stride, especially now that you're on this other side of having your son, and being able to reflect on your pregnancy and your journey to getting pregnant?
Wow. I just think that we as women, whether you are a woman who's trying to get pregnant and might be having complications, or someone who can get pregnant like that, mm-hmm. whether you're a mom of one or 10, the strength that we have as women, whether or not you feel like it's there, it's really there. And I didn't know it existed within me. And like I said, I wouldn't ever wish that experience on anyone, but for me, it really did help me to acknowledge that within me. And I think that we need to give ourselves a lot more credit, because the process of trying to get pregnant in and of itself, you know, for many is so incredibly challenging and hard and emotional. And we have to realize that how strong we really are. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I do regret not leaning on more people. I kept everything within me. I didn't tell anyone what was going on. And that was really isolating. So I would say to lean on those around you as much as you can, because whether or not they can understand, we just have to support one another.
Yeah, I think that that's so true. And I think especially hearing, you know, you going through your journey of, you know, having bleeding in the beginning, which mm-hmm. a lot of women experience, and it's such a devastating,
right.
confusing thing, because you can have an experience where you're bleeding and things go well, and you can have an experience mm-hmm. where they don't go so well. And it's confusing, and it's so hard. And, you know, especially with doctors saying, you know, let's just wait a little bit. It's like, it, you know, will drive you crazy. And I know a lot of my friends have had experiences like that, but to be able to know that you were going on a stage that night and quietly dealing with, you know, procedures that you had to try mm-hmm. and be able to get pregnant privately, you know, obviously the bleeding and that those challenges privately, it's really hard. And I think it's such a, it's such an amazing thing for you to be able to say that you want to be open about your journey. Because I think your goal with this is, of course, to make someone else feel less alone in their journey. Mm-hmm. That, yeah. you know, you experienced it, you went through it. You of course have a beautiful outcome with it, with, you know, being a mom now. And also that, you know, there are a lot of people who deal with this very quietly. And mm-hmm. I think it's even more reason, if this year hasn't been enough reason, to show us all the importance of treating each other with kindness, because we don't know what someone is going through or experiencing.
Right. And that's the thing also with like social media, which, you know, it can be used for many great ways, but also, you know, I've always been someone who's afraid definitely of showing any flaws. And it's something that, you know, I don't think that that's a positive attribute, but the problem with social media is people see, oh, you're announcing your pregnancy and it's beautiful and you're wearing a beautiful dress and everything looks great. But that was one of the hardest days of my life, because I was like, well, I'm going to just let everyone know I'm pregnant, but this probably isn't going to work out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that sense of vulnerability for me that's always been very challenging. But when you become a mom, you know, you're really just stripped down to your core. And mm-hmm. my little baby is such a real fighter. He really was a fighter. And I remember the minute I held him, the first thing I said to him, I was like, you did so good. Like, oh my gosh, you did it. Like, you did so good. Cause it was so much of his strength. Right. I know.
That's so amazing. I love that. I think it's such a beautiful story of being able to, you know, go through the highs and lows of mm-hmm. becoming pregnant, of being pregnant in a pandemic. I mean, we didn't even talk about the fact that you live with your mom, which is like,
I know.
such an amazing.
It was wild. So wild. I mean, she came out to be with us in early on in the pregnancy, because I was experiencing so many complications. Right. And then, you know, right as she was going to, you know, fly back to the East Coast, we heard of this thing called COVID, and yeah. she was like, well, I'm just going to stay. And then she never left, and she lived with me and my husband, and it was wonderful, because she got to, you know, be there every single step of the way. And I definitely could not have gotten through the challenges that I did, you know, without her and my husband obviously by my side.
Yeah, I think that's so great. I think it's such a for those of us who have been pregnant in this pandemic and also mm-hmm. become first time moms in a pandemic and have a close relationship with our moms, to be able to look at a silver lining of this of this pandemic world that we mm-hmm. live in as being able to have that quality time with our moms and our family.
Yeah.
I think is just such an unbelievable experience. And to see them, and I'm sure you have the same experience, just to see my mom step into this role as a grandmother, mm-hmm. and then to be able to tap into all of her knowledge about, you know, being a mom herself. It's like you rely so much on your mom, of course, already, but then mm-hmm. new role.
I know. I'm so very grateful. And I think, as you know, for me, I've had such an amazing relationship with my mother, but sometimes we were so close mm-hmm. that it came with its own complications.
Right.
But now, as this role of being a mother, and my mother is a grandmother, it's like I just see my mom now. Also, I understand so much more now. And I'm so grateful for her and everything that she, you know, did for me growing up. And so it's definitely, it's enhanced our relationship just as mother and daughter. And then also just because she's so incredible with my son that I could go and, you know, do this and feel like I'm so safe that she can, you know, be with him. And the same goes for my husband, to have a partner that is so wonderful and secure, to know that, you know, my son is in the best hands.
Right.
But it was the whole experience of, you know, being pregnant during the pandemic. It was very scary, but now having the opportunity to be home with my baby every day and get to see him do all of these little things and watch him grow and change as the minutes go by, I feel so blessed to have this.
That's
time.
So amazing. I feel the exact same way about my experience. It's so great. I also just realized, is he a Leo, your son?
Yes, his name is Ever and his middle name is Leo.
So Leo because of his astrological sign.
Yes. Don't ask me anything else because I don't know anything more about astrology other than
I don't either, but my sister is a Leo and she's like a diehard Leo, and my daughter is also a Leo, and so she's like I'm relying on her heavily to be the astrological person to be able to tell her all about the Leo traits. But I know that one of definitely strong Leo is a big part of that. So that totally is a fitting name. But thank you so much. I'm so happy that you were able to come on and talk about this. I think this is I'm so grateful that you took the time to be able to come on and talk to me, of course. And I'm even more grateful, I know, because PCOS is such a big topic and it's such an important one, and one that so many women struggle with, and relationships also come in that as being something that is struggles in that journey as well, and the mm-hmm. fertility journey. And it's so unique to every single person. And some people have, you know, the experience like you did. Some people have it, you know, worse. Some people have it better. And we're never here to compare or do anything except for to share people's experiences. And I think you've done a beautiful job at that. And what a beautiful story and outcome. And I'm so happy for you. And one day we'll get the children together for a play date. I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is so nice to get to have time to talk about this. It's really great.
I know. Well, it's awesome. And I'm great. So grateful for it. So thank you again. And I'll let you get back to your little boy.
Okay. All right. I'm going to sign out.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was such a beautiful conversation. I'm so grateful to Leah Michelle for being able to come on here, take time away from her little one to talk about such an important topic that you guys have asked me so much about. So hopefully we'll be able to talk more about PCOS and the amount of people that deal with it, maybe get a medical perspective on that as well, because it is a topic that a lot of women come face to face with when trying to conceive, even though they may have had it for a long period of time before trying to get pregnant. So we will make sure to put this episode on my Instagram page, and make sure you tune in next week for another episode of BDA Baby.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.